Again, he said to me, what? Prophesy over these bones and say to them. Everybody look at me. Say to a bone. Are you with me? He didn't say, beg of me to do something about this situation. He didn't say, oh, cry unto me and intercede. No. He said, speak to this death in this valley. Are y'all with me? Speak to it, to these bones, and say to them. Now listen, now if you really read this at face value, you would think, man, this is kind of wacky. But he literally says, what does it say? Oh, dry bones, what? Come on, hear the word of the Lord. How many of you have ever done that to your physical body? I have. Amen? I've spoken to my back. I say, hear the word of the Lord and line up in the name of Jesus. Amen? Y'all still there? You can't call me crazy because I'm reading right out of scripture to you. Okay? And thus says the Lord God to those bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinew on you and make flesh grow back on you and cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive and you will know that I am the Lord. Now that's what the Lord taught him to say. Verse 7, what does it say? Y'all talk to me. What does it say? So I prophesied as I was commanded. Notice that. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a little softer in the new covenant. Desire to prophesy, right? But I really think the Lord would say, absolutely, I've given you my spirit. Open your mouth and prophesy. Amen? Amen? So I prophesied, and there was a noise. Everybody say a noise. And there was, behold, a rattling. So obviously dead things can hear the word. You did when you got saved. You were dead when you heard the word of God. Hallelujah. People tell me, I can't hear God's voice. Are you saved? You can hear God's voice. In fact, you heard God's voice before he brought you alive. Isn't that amazing? I got to be really careful because that's a whole nother message. Okay? Everybody tell me to quit going, prophesy to me to quit chasing rabbit trails because there's lunch over here next door. Hallelujah. And there was a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them. And flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. So we have an assembly. Hello? We have an assembly, but how many know we're missing something? We need some life. Hallelujah. We need some breath to flow into what has been put together by the supernatural word of God. Hallelujah. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds. Basically, he's saying, come from every direction. Okay? O breath, and breathe on these slain that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Can I tell you today, prophecy, corporate prophecy greatly impacts the body of Christ and the local church. It does. It greatly impacts how we come together and why we come together. It brings about change. It brings about inspiration. Amen? But our obedience is required of us to prophesy as we are commanded. Hallelujah. So here we have a prophetic picture. There's many, but I just love this one because it's so dramatic. It's so visual when you read it. But it's a prophetic picture of the power of prophecy and how it impacts God's people. Now, if you go on to read that, that was a word for Israel. And it's a powerful word, but it speaks prophetically to this day to what God does through prophecy. Now I want to share with you about the power of a word. It involves the corporate. Stay with me. It involves the corporate, but it impacts an individual if you'll receive it, because that's what's important. You got to understand, if you're a dry bone, you need to hear what's being said, or you might just stay there and be a dry bone. You're not going to rattle and come together and come to life until you hear the word of the Lord yourself, right? And so there's a power in, I believe in, and there's a power in personal prophecy. There's a power in the prophetic to an individual as well. I guess what I would rather say, personal prophecy, I believe in, and I'm not against it at all, but I'm telling you, there's something powerful here. And what happened is, in this account, I want us to go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. And here, let me set it up for you, because we can't read the whole chapter. But in chapter 10, the prophet Samuel is anointing Saul to be the next king of Israel. And so Samuel has anointed him and chosen him. Now Samuel's a prophet. Everybody say a prophet. And he anoints this man to be the king of Israel. And he's tall and good looking. And the people kind of say, boy, he looks like a king. And how many know? We found out later that God looks at the heart, right? Not the stature of the man. But the thing about it is, as he was doing that, Samuel gives him this. What we would think, if you didn't understand it, we would think it was a peculiar instruction of the next thing. How many know, after God called you and anointed you, you would think, well, I'm ready to go, right? Hello? God's called me. God's anointed me. Send me out, Lord. And there's something I'm telling you. There is prophetic encounters we need to be able to be changed into who God wants us to be. Y'all with me? Very important. So look with me now, if you would, if what he's actually telling Samuel, I mean, what Samuel is telling Saul is, you're getting ready to have a prophetic encounter. And you'll find this very interesting. It's in 1 Samuel 10, verse number 5. Afterward, you will come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. There's a message for you right there. What? Whose hill is it? No. The hill of who? It's God's hill, but who's on it? The Philistines. Isn't that interesting? But I want you to notice something here. It does in no way, even when the enemy is in a place he shouldn't be, it is in no way can it hinder the prophetic. And I want you to see that now. Stay with me. And it shall be as soon as you have come to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre before them. And they will be what? Let's stop for just a moment. Have you ever noticed, and this is not the only account, but when anointed men and women of God flow in the Spirit on their instruments in praise and worship, it almost always will loose the prophetic. Yes. Are you with me? David was so anointed that he could play his harp and it would soothe Saul from his demons, the same Saul we're talking about. He was summoned for David to come and just play your harp, and it would cause the demonic to give him some relief for a moment. And so I just want you to see that. And there's other accounts where the prophet would say, when the prophet was going to prophesy, he would say, bring me a minstrel. Bring me a minstrel. Let him begin to play, and then he would begin to prophesy. If there's something about the connection between, now I'm talking about anointed music. I'm not talking about just any music. Okay? Hello? There's a secular anointing on music, too, that can lead you in certainly the wrong way. But we're talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's on music, and it causes there to be a release of the prophetic. Okay? How many of you know it's hard? If we all walked in here and said, good morning, everybody, stand up, thus saith the Lord. That's a little more complicated. But when you've been in the flow of the worship, it's just almost naturally will start to come forth. And I want to declare over this house, it's going to become more and more common and more powerful. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's keep reading. He said, and then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily. And look what it says. And you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. He's already been chosen. Stay with me. He's already been anointed by the prophet to be king. Already been established. But he said, oh, but I have another encounter for you. And it's with the prophetic. And it's going to change you into another man. Are y'all getting this morning? Are you guess the power of a prophetic word? Prophetic words change us, and even more so, especially when we prophesy. Isn't it interesting? When Saul was among them, and it was said later, the people were kind of curious, is King Saul among the prophets? How many of you know a spirit of prophecy can begin to move, and it's easy to prophesy. And so as he began to receive a prophetic word and to prophesy, he was completely changed into another man. And we see further in that same chapter, again, we'll have to jump over for the sake of time. Samuel, what happens? Samuel the prophet reveals Saul to the people. In other words, it was his public coronation. You know, here he is. This is the guy, right? And then I want you to look with me at verse 25. Then Samuel told the people the ordinances of the kingdom. And he wrote them in a book and he placed it before the Lord. And Samuel sent the people away, each one to his house. Saul also went to his house at Gibeah, and who? The valiant men whose hearts God had what? Say it. Touched. Went with him. But I need to read the next verse to you. But certain worthless men said, here's what they said. How can this one deliver us? And they despised him and did not bring him any present, and he kept silent. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the worthless man. But the worthless man, how many of you know what they said was not edifying? Yeah. Y'all, come on. It wasn't edifying. I'll be amazed at people that I've heard them literally tear down a leader in their life or a pastor or whatever, and then they wonder why they can't receive anything from them. Hello? Hello? I've heard people talk and they dismantle something, or somebody dismantles their spouse. If you run them down, guess what? You're not going to be able to receive from them, okay? And I'm telling you, it's the way it works in the area of authority. So, interestingly, I didn't say it. God said, when we talk like that, we're worthless. Our words are worth nothing. In fact, they're doing more damage than good. Amen? Amen? But notice these valiant men. I love that. They were valiant. They were warriors. But God had touched their heart. Now, I taught this to you maybe a year ago, I think, and I don't know how deeply I went into it, but I remember one day I was reading this account again, and I just felt the Holy Spirit said, you need to look that up in the Hebrew, and I did. And remember, I told you this. I don't know, when I think of touch, what do you think of? I think of kind of like touch, right? Just like a touch, you know, like take it. and I looked it up, and it said to strike violently. And I thought, wow, I got touched one time in a bar fight like that, but it was a violent touch. But it was a touching of the heart. It was a forceful encounter. In other words, God encountered these men in their hearts, and he changed them. Amen? They were changed. They were valiant men. And they were basically saying, Saul, wherever you go, we're going with you. You're our king. And God can use people like that. How many of you would like to be men and women who would allow God to touch your heart? Three of you? Amen? Anybody else want to be touched? Hallelujah. Come on. I mean, I love to have hands laid on me. It's great. Be prayed for and all of that. But there's something about a God encounter when he touches your heart directly that's incredibly powerful. And I think we can believe for it. And I think certainly for... let's talk about Gideon for a moment. We know the story. In Judges 6, you can read about it. The people of Israel were deeply oppressed by an enemy named Midian. They cried to the Lord. I mean, it was horrible. If you read the account, how oppressed they were. The whole nation was in mourning and economic upheaval, and it was horrible. And Midian just was basically running roughshod over them. The people cried out to God. And as they cried out to God, they got a prophetic word. Basically, the prophetic word was this. When you came into the land, I told you not to fear the enemy, but you did fear the enemy, and therefore the enemy has you. How many know fear gives access for the enemy? Hello? Fear. That's why we're told repeatedly to not fear. And so in the very next verse, at the beginning of chapter 6, Gideon is in a wine press threshing wheat. And it says clearly in Scripture, he's hiding it from the enemy. In other words, he's trying to just get by and keep his head low. Have you ever felt that way? Man, I'm just going to keep my head down and maybe the devil won't see me over here. Y'all with me? And so the enemy was coming after him, and he's threshing wheat. But then an angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and says this, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. And I'm convinced, like many preachers have said, I'm convinced Gideon was probably like going, who are you talking to? You know, I don't feel like much of a valiant warrior in here today, right? And he's there. And then, interestingly, Gideon starts to complain. And here's how he complained. If the Lord is with us, why are we in the condition we're in? Where is the God of our forefathers, of whose testimony we have heard? Don't raise your hand when I ask this, but you can nod if you want to. How many of you have been in a situation where you've wondered where God is? Hello? And so he's struggling with this, and he's having a hard time. Would you agree with me he's discontented? Because he knows it shouldn't be this way. He's heard the stories of the greatness of his king and the triumph of his God. And why in the world are we living like this under the oppression of Midian? But obviously he wasn't paying attention to the prophetic word that came. Because he's still living in fear. And instead of confronting the enemy, he was hiding and trying to avoid any more attacks. And the angel said to him, go in this your strength. And for years, I've shared this with you before, but for years I would read that. I just keep reading because I didn't know how to explain it. I said, strength. What kind of strength did this guy have at the time? But the strength, I believe, was twofold. Number one, God, I believe with all of my heart, will use your discontentment to be a motivation for change. Y'all with me? To say, Lord, I know you've called me. In worship today, we were going there, weren't we? God's calling us into something, into another realm. It's a motivation to change. But can I tell you this? I say this respectfully. Without a prophetic word, your discontentment will cause you to become bitter instead of strive to be better. Are you with me? How many of you know that's true? If you don't have a word, that discontentment will cause you to start becoming a bitter person. But when you got a word from God, it actually will release in you a refreshed motivation to gain the victory over the enemy. And of course, I believe that word that Gideon spoke itself, the Lord is with you, was enough to give him strength to realize he was not alone. And God saw him as a valiant warrior. It changed. How many know it imparted valor to him? It imparted strength to him and courage. It imparted identity to him. How many know he needed that identity? I'm a warrior. Well, what does the Bible say about you and me? He's made us more than conquerors. He's called us to be overcomers in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Bill. And we have to live that way. And I'm not trying to hype you up. I am not trying to hype you up. But we've got to hear the word of the Lord or we'll stay in that same place. Because let me ask you this question. Would anything have really changed with Gideon and the people of Israel if there had not been a visitation and a word? I don't know how it would have. Because even after the prophet spoke and told them what was wrong and what they needed to address, they didn't address it. And sometimes that's what happens. No matter how much the Lord would even speak to us, a prophetic word sometimes just kind of jerks the slack out of your chain. Amen? It says, hey, you were born for more than this. Amen? For the glory of God. All of us should desire earnestly to prophesy. To build up. Come on, keep amen to me. To exhort people, to encourage them. Amen? We're all called to do that. We should all long to do that on a individual level and on a corporate level as a church. We all can pursue love and earnestly desire and expect to prophesy. Because let me say it to you again, His Holy Spirit is not just with us from time to time. He is in us. Amen? Christ in you and me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now go with me to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, another verse again. Don't check out on me because you've heard me use this verse a lot, but I usually just quote it to you, but today I wanted you to look at it. Revelation 19, just to quickly set up, John is obviously receiving a powerful revelation and a visitation from God. He's been shown all these miraculous things, and there comes a point, I think John's so overwhelmed by the glory and all that he's seen, he bows down to worship the angel. How many know a real angel won't let you worship him? Hello? They won't let you worship him. Look what it says here, Revelation 19:10. I fell at his feet, the angel, to worship him. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Notice that. Who do the angels serve with? Those who what? Come on, guys. Those who what? Hold fast to the testimony of Jesus, okay? For the testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy. It's the essence of all prophecy is Christ our Lord. Amen? It's the testimony of what he has done. Everything is summed up in Christ, and he will come to have first place, preeminence in everything. For he is above all. Everything prophetic is about him. Even in the Old Testament, it was about Jesus. Hallelujah. The King of glory. Somebody praise his name. Everything is summed up in him. And the testimony not only speaks, you got to understand this, the word for testimony in the Hebrew, it speaks of not only what he has done, but it declares who he is and why he did it. He not only didn't heal, he not only healed somebody, he is a healer. He not only delivered somebody, he is the deliverer. Are y'all with me? It's very important. That's what a testimony is doing. Therefore, we come to the conclusion when a testimony is prophesied, we begin to understand something. Why is it prophecy to me? Well, when I'm telling of what the Lord has done and I'm boasting in the Lord, somebody else can go, well, hold on a minute. If he's an unchanging God and he did that, then he'll do that now for me. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Yeah. And you'll be changed and you'll come to a level of faith you weren't in before. Are y'all with me? That's how it works. I always tell people, I said, if you want to start being prophetic, start boasting in the Lord. Amen? Start bragging on Jesus at every turn you get. You'll be amazed how prophetic you will become. Hallelujah. You remember the old song we used to sing? Look what the Lord has done. Amen. He healed my body. Y'all don't remember that song? Okay. Some of you older people should have stayed with me on that one. I know you heard it. All you youngins need to go to church. I'm not just kidding. Stay with me. I promise we're approaching the runway to land. But there's a prophetic hope that we need. Amen? In all honesty, I'm not trying to be rude when I come into your hospital room or visit you or pray with you. I'm just trying to give you some hope. And for me just to sit and cry with you, that ain't going to help you. I've got to get you to looking differently, because I'm telling you, you're going to make me cry. And I love you, and I do. Susan and I do intercede in tears over situations in people's lives. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, what I want to do is steer you in the right direction. And you ought to all want to live that way. Amen? Amen? I'm not trying to justify how I minister or don't minister, but I'm telling you, the prophetic is what brings changes. And you can go through every example in the Bible, and you'll never see where joining somebody in sorrow and murmuring and complaining ever brought deliverance. It will not. Amen? You'll never see. If you could find the verse that says, and our God loves to inhabit murmuring and complaining. He just loves that. I can't find it. In fact, the original generation in the, you know, on the doorstep of the promised land, but it never went in. Got the reason they didn't go in was because of their words. What if we spoke? Let me throw something out to you. What if we spoke to one another? Just stay with me. In such a way, prophetically, that with everybody we meet, just think about it. That's the way we lived. That every time we got together, we spoke. I was just thinking about this. Well, what if we don't see each other tomorrow or ever again? One of us, it's our day to go be with the Lord, you know, or whatever. Wouldn't you like to live with the satisfaction of what you did say the last time you were around that person? Hello? With the satisfaction of what you did say was the testimony of Jesus to them? Amen? How many of you have ever been angry and you didn't deal with something and you went to bed? My hand's up. Come on. How many know it's miserable, isn't it? That's why the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Why? It gives the devil an opportunity. Clearly, right out of Scripture. Even to do that thing. How many know there's more things than that to give the devil an opportunity? But that's one of them. To go to bed angry. To go to bed frustrated. To go to bed in unforgiveness. To go to bed miserable and mad at God and frustrated. And what you can fill in a lot of blanks, but it gives ground where we don't need to give ground. And even today, I didn't even know I was going to share that this morning at the end of the worship time. But I'm telling you, God wants us to take back the ground that the enemy thinks he owns. Amen? There's some simple and profound instructions for the last days. And I like to call it this, it's an attitude that we have to have if we're going to earnestly desire to prophesy and then actually do it. Would anybody like to know what that attitude is? Would you like to know what it is?
Yes.
You already know it. I quote it to you all the time, but let's look at it, and I promise we will close. 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 16 with me. Rejoice, rejoice,
always.
I looked it up. Always means all the time. There's no other way to read it. So when do we rejoice, church? All the time. Because we, you know why we can? Because God is good all the time. Amen? Hallelujah. We pray without ceasing. That's a huge word. In everything, give thanks. Does it say for everything? No. I mean, there's a huge difference. I don't thank God when I suffer loss, but I'll thank him in the midst of it. You get, that's the difference. That's a sacrifice of praise. I'm going to praise you, Lord, because I know one thing. You're going to take everything in my life and you're going to work it together for good, because I love you and I'm called according to your purposes. Come on. That's the only way. If you don't get that, it's not at the constitution of your faith and your belief systems. There's no way you can rejoice always and always give thanks. Amen? And you might say, well, what do you do? Well, I get a bad report. Something's happening. I got to go deal with something. I say, Lord, I give you thanks right now. You got a word for this situation. And I know you're at work in it. And the enemy may be trying to do some work right here, but you're getting ready to weave a plan for good. And I'm going to enter into it. And I'm not going to enter into it without thanksgiving and praise and without, let me tell you this. I heard this years ago. I think it was maybe Kenneth Hagin or Kenneth Copeland. Years ago, I heard him say, boy, more than anything, you need to become a prophet in your own life. You need to learn how to speak over your own heart or your own life and over your own family. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Everybody's looking for a word, and God said, I'd just like you to do the last one I gave you. Right? Okay. Verse 19. This is all in context. Stay with me. Oh, by the way, it says what this? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, stop for a moment. He did not say everything you're going through, oh, that's just God's will for you. Because that's that bizarre, off-the-charts sovereignty of God teaching that makes it sound like everything that happens to you, God wanted it to happen. I don't buy that. I hope you don't. But what is he saying? No matter what's going on in your life, you're going to be a person that gives thanks. You're not going to quit praying and believing God, and you're not going to stop rejoicing. Amen? That's God's will for you. It's that you're steady, and you're steadfast, and you're stable, and you're not easily moved because, see, you're building your life in the unshakable kingdom, not the shakable one. Hallelujah. That's how you can do that. It's the only way we can do that. Hallelujah. Now go to verse 19. Do not quench the spirit. Notice that. He gets our attitude right, and then he says a warning. Do not quench the spirit, and do not what? Despise what? Prophetic utterances. But examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. How many of you have ever gotten a great word, but you didn't really hold fast to it? My hand's up. And then later, another prophet or somebody will remind me of that word, and I realize I didn't hold on. As good as it was, I didn't hold on to it, okay? Now, let me explain this to you a minute before we pray, because it's important. We have clear instructions here to not quench the spirit, okay? Which tells me something, guys. He really, even though you're praising and doing it as a sacrifice and you're rejoicing and keeping in faith, the Lord says, don't quench the spirit because I am speaking. Don't quench the spirit because I've got guidance for you. Amen? Come on. I've got a word for you. So don't quench the spirit. Don't shut it down. And don't despise the prophetic. I've heard a lot of people tell me, you know, I can almost see people when you say, well, the Lord gave me a word for you. And you can almost tell in their spirit, their eyes roll back like, oh boy. Here we go, another word. Well, the problem is we got a lot of faulty receivers. Yeah. I mean, a quarterback could be completely accurate on the pass, but somebody has to catch it. Right. Amen? The term we use in football all the time is what? You know, man, that pass hit him right in the numbers and he didn't catch it. Your guy makes $10 million a year and he didn't catch it. But there's a lot of people that get a good word and they don't receive it. Hello? Don't quench the spirit. Amen? Now, let me say this. We are to examine everything carefully. Can I tell you this, though? Don't examine it as a skeptic. I've been around people, they actually examine a prophetic word or an utterance with a despising spirit. Are you with me? Don't be a skeptic. But you do need to have discernment. And guess what? That's another gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because we're not always going to prophesy perfectly. Nobody in this room is perfect. Are you with me? In fact, the Bible says we look through a glass dimly. Do we not? So prophetic words should be examined. And then the good part, you need to hold fast to it. There's many a times I've eaten some meat and I spit out some bones. Hello? Don't swallow the bones and don't spit out the meat. Hello? I know, we're talking about food and y'all are hungry. A good word, if I say a good word, is going to resonate with your heart. It'll touch you. A good word will build you up, encourage you, and comfort you. Amen? A good word will sometimes warn you of something that maybe you're, how many of you have been warned of something? You were blind to it. But that good prophetic word helped you out, gave you some insight. Amen? Come on, it's good. That's why when I'm really struggling, I ask people to pray with me and for me. They might see something. I'm just not seeing it. Something's in my blind spot. But they help me to see it. A good word will bear witness many times, not always, but it'll bear witness with something that you've already been hearing from the Spirit. We call it a confirmation word. You ever gotten one of those? You knew the Lord was directing you, and then when the word of the Lord came, it was a comfort. How many of those are fun? Because now you're like, yes, I am hearing God. And I believe God loves to do that because he wants you to know that you are hearing the Holy Spirit. Amen? And God's speaking to you, and it's confirmed through a prophetic voice in your life. But a good word will also reveal the secrets of your heart. Those things that you may or may not be aware of. It may be something you thought only you knew, and that this man's prophesying over me a deep secret of my heart. Then again, it may be something that you weren't even aware of, but when it got prophesied, it caused you, like it says in the scripture, just to want to fall on your face and say, God's here. You know what I'm saying? Because it touched something in you prophetically. And that's why many times I've seen people get emotional when a prophetic word touches on a secret deep within their heart. Because it's something that was always there, but life itself and sin and unrighteousness and bitterness or whatever just coated it over. And they didn't even realize that was something that was in their spiritual DNA. That God had placed in them, a plan that he had for them. Amen? And the book that he's written on each of our lives. Hallelujah. Let me say this though, some words of wisdom. I believe it's wisdom from my experience and from learning from other prophetic teachers. If something doesn't resonate or bear witness with you, hear my heart, take it to prayer. Hello? Yeah. Pray about it. And if not then you know, leadership in this church will pray with you. I will pray with you. But don't stone the prophet. Don't go Old Testament on me. Hello? I didn't bear witness with me. Somebody give me a rock. Right? Because you may come to find out it was a good word after you seek God. Hallelujah. You okay with that? Because it's one thing for a word to be given, but be a receiver. Okay? And let me tell you, if we're pursuing love, love is what keeps the motivation pure. Right? And but people can obviously prophesy. Now, hear me when I say this. I'm not making excuses for it, but it happens. People can prophesy a really good word, but then they add something to it. Yeah. I have done it. I realized I'm embellishing something that I should have let the word do the word. Are y'all with me? Should have let the word do that. And now this is error, but it's usually harmless because if your heart's right, it's not usually. But here's the thing that I found. In the prophetic, I've learned that in most cases, less is more. Let me give you an example. Somebody gives a powerful word to you and you share it with somebody and it blesses their socks off. They're like, wow, dude, that so resonates with my heart, right? And then they just keep talking. And now they're giving their Cliff Notes version of how this is all going to work out. And we're adding flesh to it. I've done it. I'm trying not to do it as much. I'm trying to be more careful. Deliver the word and then let the word do the work. Amen? Amen? All right. I'm trying to help you be at liberty now. I'm not trying to bind you up in any way. Here's what we have to guard against is spiritual pride. If we're going to have a pure prophetic flow, we can't have spiritual pride. But we can't also get intimidated by fear. Don't let fear intimidate you. Again, like you're maybe going to be stoned if you miss it. Because again, the earnest desire should be what? To prophesy. But fear can paralyze you from exercising any gift of the Spirit. The word for fear, actually in its meaning, when Paul told Timothy, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, the word is actually intimidation. Yeah. And a lot of people don't operate in the gifts of the Spirit because they have the Holy Spirit, but they're intimidated. They're intimidated to step out. They're intimidated to speak and to share. So we don't have any fear here. Amen? Hello? Because what? The perfected love of God drives out all fear. Hallelujah. Another thing. Sometimes when we're being prophesied to, now hear my heart when I say this. We can hear in error. I've done this. As soon as I'll be driving away from a meeting, somebody prayed over me, and I'll start dissecting it. I don't know about this or that. Susan goes, he didn't say that. I go, what do you mean he didn't say that? She goes, I was standing right there beside you. And then she really gets me when she says, I recorded it on my phone. Would you like to listen to it? No, I don't want to. Obviously, I want to. Be critical all by myself. But how many of you ever had a word come to you and you didn't understand it clearly? You didn't hear it clearly. Okay? Which is why, can I say this? When it's a personal prophecy to someone, it's much safer, all right, and more beneficial if there's a witness. Okay? Because you've got somebody there who loves you or a brother or sister in the Lord, And they, let me say this. Why do you think Jesus sent people out two by two? I'm convinced it's why. Many times I have been praying over someone and I feel like I got a couple of things. And then my wife or someone else, some of you that have ministered with me on a reservation, will get a word that'll just take it to a whole nother level. They'll get insight that I didn't get. And I believe that's why the two together can be so powerful. But it also can be a protection too when something's being prayed over here. Everybody still with me? I think we got to be careful we don't overthink it all. Because then we're not, because prophecy in its meaning in the Hebrew is to bubble up. So you got to be careful that you're not overthinking it. But we do need to be wise and we do need to use wisdom and keep the flow pure. That's all I'm sharing today, okay? Not all I'm sharing, but all I'm sharing about that. Let's earnestly desire to prophesy by being eager and ready. Everybody say eager and ready to speak the utterances that the Holy Spirit would give. But it's also because of our zeal to prophesy, guard against fabricating something that's not the Spirit of the Lord speaking. Something I think the Lord would like for them to know. Guilty as charged, right? Hello? Hallelujah. You might say, well, how do you know? Well, a lot of times what I do, I just pray in the Spirit. I just pray in the Spirit. And you know what I find out when I do that? And I don't mean I grab the microphone and pray. I just back away. And I'll pray in the Spirit a little bit, walk around a little bit. I'll pray in the Spirit. And I'll find that my thoughts dissipate. How many of you have experienced that? I find my thoughts dissipate, but the thoughts of the Holy Spirit come back to me again. I'm not trying to be weird, guys. This is just the reality of how we listen to God and hear His voice. For He is a speaking Spirit. Amen? And we're told if we have ears to hear what He is speaking and saying to His church. Hallelujah. Now here's what I want to pray with you about this morning. Let's pray about having a good prophetic attitude and a good prophetic outlook. Fair enough? Everybody agree for that? Amen? That it's that posture that will allow the prophetic flow. Because I'm telling some of you, God's really wanting to release that in this house. If you and I will rejoice always, continue to pray, believe His promises, give thanks in every situation, whether we understand it or not, knowing that God's got us, amen? This is the attitude that breeds the prophetic. It does. It'll breed the prophetic in your life, and you'll actually have a desire. Man, I just want to encourage and build up and help people out. I just want to be used of God for that. It'll just get to be, you're eager, you're spring-loaded to do it. And this is the attitude that is God's will for us. And with this attitude, we'll actually hear the Spirit of the Lord speak to us. You can hear His prophetic voice. You can hear it. I would that all of God's people would prophesy, that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. That was Moses' cry. That was his cry. Oh, that all people would. And I believe it, again, I believe that that prophet of God in his day was desiring something forward that was going to be in the church when all shall prophesy. Amen? Hallelujah? Lift up your hands to heaven. Lift up your hands to heaven. Lift up your countenance again to the Most High God. Lift up your face toward heaven this morning. Come on, we've been hearing this since one of the first songs this morning. Lift up thine eyes into the hills. Hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just worship Him right now. Just worship Him right now. Just worship Him right now. O Spirit of the living God, we cry out today, come. Say come. Say to you, come. O Lord, come from the four winds. Come from every direction and breathe upon Your church. Breathe upon our homes and our families. Breathe upon all of us, Lord. Come. Shed abroad in our hearts the Holy Spirit. The love of Jesus. Strike our hearts, Lord. Touch us. If you want that right now, if you want a divine encounter with the prophetic, ask Him for it. Go ahead, right now. Come on, cry out. Cry out. Lord, we want an encounter with You. In our prayer closet and in our Sunday gatherings and in our prayer meetings, we want to encounter You, Lord. Touch our hearts and change us into another man. Change us, Lord. Hallelujah. Come. Come. Keep crying out. Come on. Keep crying out. Hallelujah. We want You more, Lord. More, Lord. More. More. I say over some of you, just the times you go and get alone with God, there's some, he's going to invade some prayer closets. Get ready for it. Amen? He's going to invade some prayer closets. You're going to be so full of the Holy Spirit, you can't wait to prophesy on Sunday. Hallelujah! God's going to give you a word for a friend or a loved one or someone in the church, and you're going to call them up and give them the word. Hallelujah! And they're going to, on the other end of the line, they're going to get healed. They're going to get set free. It's going to liberate them. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and there is freedom. Hallelujah! Strike our hearts, Holy Spirit. Encounter us like never before. And where we lack the love, fill us up with love. Fill us up with agape. Oh, Jesus. I hear the Lord say this, and I say it respectfully. Many of you know how to walk in phileo love. And Peter kept trying to use that word. Lord, you know I phileo you. You know I love you like a brother. And Jesus was asking him, do you agape me? And I hear the Lord saying, even for the body of Christ, he's not asking you just to be a buddy to a friend and somebody in this room. He's asking you for agape to flow. Lord, help us all to agape one another. Help us all, Lord, to agape one another, not just be buddies. Please receive that in love, beloved, this morning. Amen? Lord, I thank you for the friends that are in the house of God and the brotherly love. But, oh, Lord, let us go deeper than that fervent love. Well, we care more about what we said to a friend when we left them than just whether or not we had a great coffee with them. Change us, Lord, I pray. Encounter us, Holy Spirit. With that change, I pray. Pray this with me to the Lord. Lord, I open my heart to your encounters. Holy Spirit, I open my ears to your voice, your utterances, that I would be faithful to speak when your utterances stir up inside of me. May I prophesy to the praise and the glory of Jesus' name. Of Jesus' name. Come on, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord right now. Come on, rejoice in the Lord. Give thanks right now with all of your heart. Come on, give thanks. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for the victory. I thank you, Lord, for it. Come on, shout, shout. Release it. Release it right now. Rejoice. Rejoice. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. Do y'all receive that? Hallelujah. Has it been helpful? I'm serious. I'm not looking for, because I want to teach some more on some of the gifts of the Spirit and other prophetic gifts. And I think I'm going to stay on this thought. But I just want to make sure it's something you're receiving and it's helping you, okay? I don't teach just to say I've got a series, but I really feel like God wants us to dwell on it. Let me ask you this right now. We want to, can somebody alert Susan and the children's workers that we're getting ready to do the baby dedication? Can somebody just be bold and go? Thank you, Bill. Okay, all right. So we're going to do that now. So we're getting ready to dedicate Madeline to the Lord this morning. So Daniel, Melissa, Rick and Melody, anybody else that you want to stand with you? If you guys would get the baby and come on down. Hallelujah. We didn't tell you we were going to do that, did we? We're going to, I don't know why I'm holding my phone, but yeah.